First of all, good evening, everyone. My name is John, and I am an alcoholic. I got sober December 4th of 2014, and with the grace of my higher power, hopefully I can stay sober and die fat and happy. That's what they say. I'm going to tell you a little bit about my story, and I'll walk you through it, and maybe you can relate to it. Hopefully you can. How many people, just so I know, have been in a treatment center before? Detox, rehab, something like that? Okay, we got some first-timers here. So I was in detox twice, same detox. I'm a repeat offender, almost back-to-back, you know what I mean? And that was at the very, very tail end of my drinking and using. When I say that I'm an alcoholic, that is my true blue DOC. I'm a bad, bad drunk. But I can relate to some of this. It's kind of a new term, but trash can junkie. Has anybody heard that? Trash can, kind of do everything. I was one of those guys too, especially towards the end. Anything to not have to deal with the reality of my situation. Anything to not have to be present. Anything to put me over there in my mind so I didn't have to deal with what was going on out here. Back when I was a kid, this is the kind of child I was. I was one of these kids that always felt like I was on the outside looking in. I don't know if you guys can identify with that, but I kind of felt like an outsider. I felt like I didn't fit in. I had friends at different points in my life, but I felt like I didn't fit in with them. There was something always going on there. And as a result, for a little kid, I seemed to have a lot of anxiety, even though I had nothing to be anxious over. And I say that as an adult who's got bills and shit now. I had nothing I had to worry about back then. Something that I do now that I did back then is I drew a lot. And so I don't know if there's any artists here, but I started when I was a little kid drawing. Later on, painting, and that was kind of my refuge, right? And I did it compulsively all the time. But I did that sort of behavior with everything, you know? There was a spell that I like macaroni and cheese, so I wanted to eat macaroni and cheese all the time. Specific cartoons, I like to watch them. I wanted to watch them all the time. You know, I've always been that sort of person and leaned towards that behavior. As I got older, my mom sat me down, and maybe I was like 13, 14 years old, something like that. It was just me and her growing up. I had a little sister come along later, but really it was just me, my mom, and Morgan, so long as I can remember, you know, single-parent household. She pulled me aside. I was like 13, 14 years old, and I don't know if anybody's got a single mom, but they're kind of stern. You know what I mean? They're not about joking around and shit. And she sat me down and she said, "Look, John, you can never drink." Just like that, you know. I didn't hear a lot about my dad growing up. Maybe the occasional, like, your dad's a bastard or something like that. But really, I didn't know a whole lot about him. But she was giving me the rundown on him in that moment. She sat down and she said, "You can never, ever drink. Your dad was an alcoholic. That's why he's not in the picture," just like that. And I felt like two things. I felt like if he was that bad of a drunk that she had to leave him, it must have been pretty bad. But for him to stay gone, alcohol must be pretty good. You know what I mean? So I was like kind of torn like that. And that's literally what I was thinking. Like, man, is that son of a bitch still out there drinking like that? Like, maybe he knows something I don't know, you know? So I didn't drink for a while, you know? I went through high school, but here's the deal with me, and I don't know if anybody's similar to me. Before I was drinking and doing drugs, I hung out with people that were drinking and doing drugs. Like, I kind of lived through them, they say vicariously, lived through them by proxy, you know? I ran around with runners and gunners, you know, wild people. And so it was really difficult for me to not be a fuck up when I was hanging out with fuck ups, for lack of a better way to put it. I was probably around 16, 17 years old, and I remember hanging out with a buddy at a party, right, as I had a million times before, being the cat that wasn't drinking. And I looked over at my friend back then, and I said, hey, man, let me have a beer. And he was like, are you serious? Because they all knew that I wasn't trying to drink. And I even kind of highlighted the fact that my dad was drunk, and, you know, so they would leave me alone about it. And they kind of more or less had. So when I asked my buddy Randy, hey, can I have a beer? He was almost like caught off guard, kind of hesitant about it. You know, like, man, I don't know if I want to be the guy to give him his first beer after he's telling me that he's going to have a predisposition to it. You know what I mean? I'm like, let me have that gun so I can play Russian roulette with it, basically. And he was like, well, sure. You know what I mean? Come join the club. And I kid you not, this is how I drank my first beer. I opened it up, and I took my keys, and I put one in the ass end of that beer, and I took it to the head, and I crunched it, and I threw it on the countertop, and I said, can I have another one? And opened it up. That was my first two beers, and I don't really remember the third or fourth or whatever. You know what I mean? Mind you, I had never drank. You know what I mean? And I'm like jumping off the high dive into it. And I do remember thinking, this is the greatest fucking thing ever. Finally, I can relax my shoulders. Finally, I can turn the noise off. Finally, I fit in. Finally, I can identify with people. Finally this, finally that. Because all my other shit wasn't working anymore. Drawing wasn't working anymore. Eating macaroni and cheese all day wasn't working anymore. You know what I mean? Skipping school, doing what I wanted, wasn't working anymore. I needed something more. Now, I don't know if you guys know anything about this, but knowing what I knew about booze and how dangerous it was for me, I didn't jump right into drinking it all the time. See, I did this thing where I tried to control it, right? I said, I'm going to drink on Friday nights. And I did that for a while. That made Saturday through Thursday suck really bad. You know? I just sat there and I'd think about drinking. Like, Friday was it. The rest of the world could go to hell. Friday was what it was about. You know what I mean? Over time, and I'm talking about over time, like 3 months, 4 months, I can remember thinking, look, here's the deal. We got to get beer or booze or whatever. I started asking people like Thursday, Wednesday, like essentially, what's the plug on some booze? You know what I mean? Can this guy come through? Can this guy, where's your older brother, man? What's he doing? What do you mean he said no more? Tell him I'll pay him double. You know what I mean? How about, hey, mister? I used to do this thing where I'd grab whatever girl I was kicking it with and put her in my car, and I'd be like, look, act like you're crying. And I'd get out of the car and be like, mister, my lady's got a problem with drinking, and she said that she's going to leave me if I don't get her some Zimas. Isn't that fucking crazy? But the cat I was asking was kind of like, you know, like, oh, sure, man. I was like, I'll buy you some smokes. And he's, all right. It's amazing how many of us grow up and become the guy that buys booze for the young cat. You know what I mean? Friday wasn't cutting anymore. So it was Friday and Saturday. Thursday is basically like a really early Friday. You know what I mean? So I don't really need to go to school on Friday. I'll just work harder Monday through Thursday. And I've been working really hard. I might as well let myself off early on Thursday. I almost didn't graduate high school, not because of my grades. My grades were fine because I'm a good bullshitter. I almost didn't graduate because I had skipped so much school. I had to make it up on the weekends, and I missed the last day that I could make up the hours and had to beg the coach to let me graduate. You know, I'm a screw up by trade. So after that, a lot of people get itchy feet and they want to go, they want to move, they want to get out of here, they want to go over there, whatever. This chick is the problem, this town is the problem, this school is the problem. It's not me. It's not the fact that I'm yada yada doing this or doing that, making myself feel like shit. It must be your fault. Or her fault. or man, the good old, this old good chestnut, my mom's fault, my socioeconomic background, the fact that I didn't have a dad, the fact that I grew up in Watauga, Texas, it's a shithole. If I had only been born in New York or someplace cool like that, I wouldn't be an alcoholic. So when I grab, we got some cheering walking by here. So when I graduated high school, I said, this shit is for the birds. I'm going to move to Germany. So I moved to Germany, and I grabbed two of my dipshit friends. I was like, come on. We went out there. We washed dishes in Germany and traveled around, went to Amsterdam and all this like cool places. I should have a lot of badass stories about living in Europe for a year, but I did a lot of drugs. And here's the thing. When you're an 18-year-old and can't drink in the U.S., and you go to Europe, you've been drinking age for a minute, so they don't blink twice, you know? I was officially 21. It's crazy, right? And because the nature of our disease, or at least my disease, is the more I drink, the more that ups the level. I have never been able to drink up to a certain amount, get sober, and go back and drink less. And if you have, like, that's awesome for you. I don't know what you're doing here, you know? So I really cranked up my level of drinking, came back to the States after a year, broke as shit, and started bartending. And I was true blue drinker at that point. And I had to be a bartender because that's how I could get away with drinking all the time and still make money so I could pay the light bill in my shitty apartment for me and my, you know, nutso girlfriend, you know, and keep the lights on and have a place to drink when I didn't have enough money to go to the bar. I arranged my entire life around being a drinker and a drug addict. Everything that I did was placed in a situation so I could drink and use drugs the way that I wanted to. And boy, those lies stack up. It's hard. I heard somebody talking about spinning plates. Y'all ever heard that? Spinning plates on sticks and shit? It's like hard to keep them all balanced. That's what I was doing. And throw another one in the mix. Throw it. It's like robbing Peter to pay Paul. With everything, you know, foundation starts to crack. So I was doing that. I was in the restaurant industry for a while. Well, how am I doing on time? Do you know? Hell yeah, I'm awesome. I'm the best. Right? Did anybody relate to that? Man, I suck. Anybody relate to that, too? Ooh. So, I worked in the bartending restaurant industry for a while. I'm a good hustler. I know how to work my way up. I think I see a lot of good hustlers in this room. I'm not joking. You know, that's how we do what we need to do for so long. We hustle. You can brag about it. It's all right. When applied correctly, it's actually a good quality. Yeah. An admirable one. When used in a legal way, hustling is just fine. You'll see. Stay sober. You'll see. So I was thinking, man, I'm still drawn, right? I'm probably 23 now. Drinking the whole time. I'm like, this sucks. Working in the restaurant industry is brutal. And I'd reached this fork in the road where the guy that I was working for, he was sending me out to open up these restaurants, right? It was a Texas Roadhouse. So I was opening up these restaurants, and I was coming back, and he was like, look, we want to give you your own restaurant. And the thing about the restaurant industry is if you're a service manager, you got to work a billion hours for little bitty pay. And you got to do that for a certain amount of time before you become a GM. And I'm like, this dude must really think that I love Awesome Blossoms this much. You know? That I like waiting tables this much. And then now he was going to put me in charge of a bunch of waiters that were just like me. It's like herding cats, you know what I mean? So I was like, how can I make money doing art? That's really what I want to do. Now there's a lot of options, right? How do I make money making art, right? I go to college, become a graphic designer, take some illustration courses, this or that. I was like, nah, I'm going to go be a tattoo artist. Because that's cool, right? Do a bunch of drugs and drink and wild out, tattoo. Too bad I hated it. I don't like being that intimate with somebody, being that close to somebody when I'm detoxing and need to go drink. So it sounds real cool, but try getting locked into a situation where you're tattooing a dream catcher on somebody. And you're like, fuck, I need some Jaeger like yesterday. So that's when Xanax came into my story. I don't know if any of y'all got tattooed out in Dallas, but I was probably the guy like kicking Xanax on the couch in the lobby, saying, I'll be with you in a minute. But I did it for 7 years, 7, 8 years, I tattooed. Because, and I'll tell you why, because it afforded me the luxury of being able to drink and do drugs and make money while I was doing it. Isn't that crazy? Imagine if you went to go get tattooed and you didn't know it, but the guy was all fucked up. I hope none of my old clients are in this room. What's the statute of limitations on that anyways? Yeah, right? Talk to him for more info on the age stuff. Might have to do some more work. It got real gnarly when I was tattooing. It got dark. This isn't when it got super dark, but it got dark. What happened was I couldn't stop drinking and doing drugs. Obviously, y'all have gathered that by this point. But I was doing a lot, and I was trying to work. And I don't care if I'm a tattooer, if I'm a construction worker, if I'm working in a hospital, if I'm doing this or doing that. If I have responsibilities, a child, a spouse, a house, a pet, I'm not showing up for that because I'm drinking and doing drugs, and I can't stop. It's not because I'm inherently a shitty person. I cannot stop drinking and doing drugs. And what's more, I can't stop doing more and more and more and more and more. The amount of drugs that I was and drinking that I was doing my last year of tattooing was not the same amount that I did on Friday nights in high school. And I'm sure y'all can relate to that, you know. If the same amount of drugs and drinking that you were doing before you came in here is the same amount that you were doing in high school, you truly are a badass, you know. It elevated. And here's the wacky shit that was happening. I passed out in front of the tattoo shop. This is like in the last couple years, right? And I took an ambulance ride. I'm sure some of y'all can relate to ambulance rides. They're real loud. Usually like talk about how you don't need to be in one. While somebody's yelling at you, talking about how you're crazy, you really need to be in it. Took an ambulance ride, went to the hospital. They move you over here, move you over here, move you in here, and I'm finally sitting still, and a doctor comes in, and he said, look, if you have got to stop drinking, that's it. You can't, like, just drink on Fridays. You can't switch to wine. You've got to stop. And if you keep drinking, next time you're here, you're going to be getting a pacemaker put in you. Just like that. You know, like, alcohol affects all sorts of different organs. I was just, my wheels stopped on heart. You know what I mean? She's like, amen. Let me get this coffee. You can tell I need more. A little more caffeine. That's crazy.
That's crazy.
Needless to say, for you to tell me to just stop drinking at that point in my life, you know what I'm saying? I'm some normal dude that has not a problem with drinking and doing drugs. And I come up to you and like, hey, man, you need to stop drinking. Right. It's like, or I'll try. Bad things happen when I try, but I'll try for maybe like 5 seconds. So I was like, fuck him. More so, I had new ammunition to drink more. See, I love, one of my best friends is self-pity, like I said. You know, this is my socioeconomic background. This is my mom's fault. It's my dad's fault. It's my school's fault. It's my high school counselor's fault for not seeing the potential in me. Or all of y'all for not seeing the potential in me. Not recognizing my genius. I didn't get enough college scholarships. She left me when I was 24. You know what I mean? It's like wacky. And my newest one was this doctor told me I was sick and to stop drinking. So I kept drinking. And sure as shit, I passed out again, went to the hospital, got a pacemaker put in. Like that. I mean, he was like that. Problem is with that, and this is kind of related to drinking, kind of not, but my body was in poor shape, so it probably would have gone differently had I not been a drinker. Who here knows what MRSA is, MRSA? Okay, MRSA is something you can pick up in the hospital. It's an infection. You know how they like sanitize the shit out of everything in the hospital because they don't want you getting sick? It's like the infection that you get because it's all like in a hospital setting and it's like mutated past the sanitation level. So that's what I got, you know, and they had to fight that. But here's the deal. I got it in my bloodstream. It goes to the site of the infection. It goes to my kidneys. It goes to my liver. It goes to this and that. Meanwhile, I'm at the apartment drinking because that's what I do. I drink Jack when I don't feel good. I'm like, man, I really don't feel good, so I need to, like, triple down. And luckily, my homeboy that I tattooed with came, knocked on the door, didn't answer, and he found his way in and was like, oh, shit. I was, like, half dead, you know? Not well enough to wake up or answer the door or anything like that. I remember getting to the hospital. I kind of remember being in the lobby in a wheelchair. And then I remember waking up 2.5 months later. So here's what I'm told was happening while that was going on. It started like, we got to put your son or your nephew or your homie or whatever in a coma. He's sick. Somehow he got MRSA into his bloodstream, and we got to get it out. But something else is wrong with him. I was detoxing. Now, I don't know if you do benzos or if you do heroin or if you're drunk like me or whatever. Detoxing is detoxing. It sucks. And for me, being a drunk, I'll get seizures. I'll get DTs. I could die. So here I am in a coma, flipping the fuck out, and the doctor doesn't know what the deal is. So they got to give me more propanol and this and that, and they're trying to fight this MRSA and this and that. The nature of my condition led to me being that more jacked up. When I got out, I had to learn to walk again. I had to learn to talk again. I had to learn to tell time again. It was weird. I could tell it on a digital clock, but not analog. That's the truth. I had like some therapist in there like going, what's that number? And I'm like, fucking orange. So how many of y'all think that that's the end of my story? It should be, right? Right back on you. You know? This should be the end of y'all's story. Hopefully it is for some of y'all. Huh? Did I have to learn how to drink again? No, man, I could do that in my sleep. It's like breathing. And that's the deal with drinking. And you're not going to learn a lot about this when you get out there, but alcoholism and drug addiction resides in the brain. It's a part of me. I have to practice recovery every day or else I will get sick again. this shit is serious as a, no pun intended, as a heart attack. It's dead serious. It worries me when people are like, oh, I'm here in detox or in treatment to like hide out or get the heat off my back or whatever, get my shit together, get out, reboot the system. Because you could die. I've had homies do exactly that. And they're gone. They're just gone. They're gone forever. But I'm sure I'm not telling anybody anything new. I'm sure a lot of you guys know people that have passed away from drug addiction or alcoholism or had a family member do it. Dead serious, y'all. And I wanted to play that game, you know? I didn't, but I did. You know what I mean? I remember my mom looking at me. This is the same woman when I was 14 years old that said, you can never, ever drink again. Looking at me when I woke up in that hospital bed saying, this is the longest you've ever stayed sober. Fucked up, right? I mean, that's my mom, y'all. That's my mom. Lord knows what kind of heartbreak. And I villainized her. I thought that my mom hated me. You know? She took me in after that coma because I had to continue physical therapy, right? And I remember all I was thinking is like, one of these days, one of these sons of bitches is going to say I have permission to drive again. And finally that day come, boop, right to the liquor store. Do not pass go. And I was on again. I think I had it was weird. Like I was dating some chick before I went to the coma and I came out and she was like banging my best friend and doing porn. That's the type of people I was kicking it with. So, you know, I'm like, everybody's turned against me. I'm like hanging out with goblins, wondering why they did me wrong. Just hanging out with the worst people, just like me, you know. I'm going to fast forward because I could go on and on and on and on and on about how brutal this story is, but at the end, here's all you need to know. I had huffed a bunch of nitrous for a week or something out of a trash bag and was drinking and wasn't in good shape all these years later. I think I smoked some heroin. Was living with some heroin addict that I met in an IOP. I was like bitching about my sober home that I was in at the time. I'm like, man, all these cats are doing heroin in there. He's like, I got a room for rent. So I moved in with that cat and took all his booze. And then that's when I was like, what else you got? Don't hold out on me. The cool thing is we love each other, right? We do. We relate to one another. We need each other because I don't trust, and I don't believe, and I don't relate to people that don't have alcohol and drug addiction. This cat was an active heroin user and found me and clothed me and took me to detox. And that cat is now sober, about to celebrate a year. Yeah. It took him a minute. You know, but in that interaction, it planted a seed within him. Y'all, that's where God is to me. Like, you know, you're going to hear some things when you get out there that kind of contradict your views and your understanding and your philosophies. For me, it was really important when I was in detox, and I'm sure that you guys get asked too, are you done? Are you done? Are you done? I didn't know how to fucking answer that. It's like, yeah, but I said that last time. Hell, I've said that every time, you know? That last time, I was afraid to talk because I didn't trust the shit that came out of my mouth. because everything that I said was bullshit. Everything that I said was a fib. It was a lie. It was an outright just fabricated story. So when I was asked, are you done? I said, I don't know, because I truly didn't. I don't know. I only know what to do this one day. I was taught that whole one day at a time thing in detox, and nobody had to teach it to me but a higher power. I didn't want to look ahead, because if you guys are like me, thinking about the future is fucking terrifying. Looking into that unknown is terrifying. I want to know what's going to happen. And if you don't tell me, I'm going to get drunk. For real. I have to do this thing one day at a time. There's a couple things that I have to do. There's a few things. There's 12 things that I have to do. And the thing is, you stay sober and they get real easy. They become second nature, just like drinking did. It's a little rocky in the beginning. A lot of us don't like to be the new guy doing anything, so we just don't do the thing. I was taught to suspend prejudice. If you're here and you know that you're a drunk, you know that you're an alcoholic, and if you don't know, then I kind of feel bad for you, because I don't know what to tell you, seriously. You know? But if you do know, you're kind of at that step one area, right? Really easy. Step two for me was about suspending prejudice. As alcoholics and drug addicts, I like to think that we have a lot of prejudice. One, about people or whoever, him or her, but about ideas. It's like, I don't believe that, so it's wrong. If it's not something that I co-sign, and I've like created in my mind, or a homie told me that I trust, or whatever, then it's bullshit. Some of y'all might be sitting in here right now going, recovery is bullshit. Those 12 steps that they set up there are bullshit. Doesn't matter, like, I mean, I used to think that. I was in and out of AA from 2006 on. You know, and I'll have 4 years in December, you know. But for a long time, I was just window shopping AA, and I had a lot of shit to say to the homies about it on the outside. Man, that shit is whack in there. That's a cult, man. I came real close. They wanted to give me like a coin or something. There's dark vibes in there, you know. They're all acting. They like act like they're happy and shit. Not me. You go find a sucker somewhere else. 3 years later, I'd be like walking in there all fucked up. Help me. I'd be listening to these old timers talk about how bad it got and taking notes in my mind. Never happened to me. Hadn't done that yet. Not my story. Never went there. Never lost that. But last time I came into AA, I had marked off all those boxes. I like to think about it. It's like, well, I never got a DWI. And then my higher power's like, yeah, but there was that whole coma thing. I'm like... True. You got me there. And that's like maybe like 7-8 DWI. So I had to suspend prejudice. And I could do that because my ass was so whipped. I was just done. I listened to speakers come up to podiums like this, and I related to them. I identified with them. They talk about there's two ways you can learn in recovery. You can listen and learn from other people's mistakes, or you can go out and do it. And you might stay alive, you might not. You know, so I began to suspend prejudice. I began to learn. I began to listen. And here's the thing, y'all. Like, I had a kind of a weird perspective on it. For me, I'm not going to bullshit and tell you that, like, oh, I just got rid of my ego, because the ego rebuilds so quickly. If you got in here more than a week ago, you probably already have your ego back. You're like, I got this thing. I'm going to get out of here. I'm good. I'm money when I get out of here this time. You know? You don't know. I hate to break it to you. The ego rebuilds so fast. So I had to do this thing one day at a time. And I was so tired from spinning those plates that it was easy to not think for a minute and let other people think for me. I can remember thinking in my detox, man, I wonder how much it costs to live here. Because they were feeding me three times a day. In the very, very beginning, I was getting like Seroquel and shit. So I'm like, oh, cheat codes. Then they saw that like fire in my eyes. We're like, all right, we're going to wean you off of these. But I was getting three meals a day and I wasn't eating when I went in there. So that's a big success. And when they talk about gratitude and having gratitude, y'all, if y'all learn anything, try to remember that shit about how much you do not have right now. A lot of y'all are at the end of your road and you probably don't have much. Think about how you couldn't eat a lot when you came in here. By the time you leave here, you'll be able to eat. Think about how you have to pass out to go to sleep and you have to come to wake up. If you're falling asleep on your own now, that's pretty good. That's huge. That's huge. I mean, it might take you a minute, but man, that's big. If you got a roof over your head, some of y'all were probably sleeping outside. That's real big. And if you weren't sleeping outside and you had to go stay on his couch, her couch, over there, grandma's house, homeboy that you met in IOP's little shitty heroin den, that sucks too. Like living out of a trash sack. That dude got me into detox. What I failed to mention to y'all is he like pawned everything that had any of value of mine. He's like, that's his fee for saving my life. I'm like, where's my PlayStation? He's like, pawned it. S my D. Go on. There's so much to be grateful for. If you got shelter, food, clothing, I didn't have a lot of that when I came in either. I had to take like some donation type stuff. And you could go to sleep. The rest is icing on the cake. And I promise you, it might not live up to what your ego wants, but your needs will be met. And that's where these people in recovery start talking about, oh, I'm so blessed to be an alcoholic and da-da-da-da. All that shit that made me sick to listen to. That's kind of the stuff that they're talking about, this awareness, this access to serenity that they did not have before. I don't always have serenity. I'm not always like super namaste at peace. But I do know how to get there. I didn't know how to get there before. I didn't know how to do anything but drink when I needed serenity, and it barely passed for it. You know? 720, right? What else y'all want to talk about? Anyways, I got out. I went to sober living. You would think from the first place that I went that I would be all like, I'm over this sober living thing, da-da-da-da-da. But like I said, I was on autopilot. I'm like, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Because I wasn't working. So I went, and they were like, you need to go to X amount of meetings a day. Well, I was so bored. And I was so terrified that I was going to drink or use again, because that was my pattern. I wanted to stay busy, and I wanted to stay around people that were trying to do the same thing. That was critical to me. It was critical for me to get access to that fellowship, whatever it was, of people trying to do the same thing as me, fast. Because I get kind of scared, you know what I mean? And I want to go back to what I know, even though it's bad for me. And it didn't stay that way. My sponsor liked to tell me all the time, it's not going to be like this forever. He's still telling me that. It's not going to be like this forever. And then it'll grow and something badass will happen. It'll be like, remember when you were tripping? I'll be like, yeah. I'd be like, "But it's always going to be like this." And he'd be like, "God, here we go again." You know, you're going to hear a lot of great stories, and I know you won't be able to identify it when people are like, "Oh, I was living in a fucking cave, and now I'm a millionaire." Y'all might have speakers that come out here like, "Oh, you got a fucking Porsche," and I drive a Tiburon, but I didn't have a car before. And if you could zip from point A to point B, I mean, that's money. Life is good for me now, and if my history and recovery is any evidence, if I keep trusting my higher power more than I trust myself, because I make bad decisions, I make terrible decisions left to my own devices, I will never make so great decisions on my own. You know what I mean? So I got to run things by other people in recovery, a higher power, whatever that is to you, you know, whatever. We're not picky around here. Fellowship, suspend prejudice, be open to ideas. It's a lot of new stuff. It's a lot of scary stuff, but it's a lot of easy stuff if you just chill out. You know what I mean? I hope that y'all got something from what I told you, and I hope that you found evidence in me that this shit is possible. And that I am like a dumpster goblin, and I was able to pull my shit together. Here's the thing, y'all, and here's the cool thing. Remember when I was talking about the very, very, very beginning when I was a kid, that first thing that I did instead of drinking before I found drinking was drawing? That's what I do for a living now. But it took a lot. It took God. It didn't take all the bullshit I had to go through. But it took a higher power. It took friends that I could identify with. It took a place for me to go where I could make new connections, you know? It took learning how to pray right for other people, not for myself. Learning how to love right. What it really means to love somebody and have their best interest at heart and want to be able to help them, you know? I now do art for a living. I mean, that's crazy. They talk about the promises. That's a big one. I get paid to do what I like to do when I was a little kid. Granted, I got to hustle and go get the clients and shit, but you know I already know how to do that, you know? So that's it, y'all. I hope y'all were able to get something from it.